Hello and welcome to our inaugural podcast, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by the Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Coming up in this edition, we hear from DRWF CEO Sarah Tutton, introducing the charity and the work we do.
Well, we're a friendly bunch. We're a bit like a little family, really, and I think you find that with all of the DRWF groups. We offer a really personal service, and I guess one of the strengths that we have is the knowledge and understanding that we've built over the last 20 years in building relationships with people living with diabetes.
Volunteer Lionel Curtis on working with DRWF.
Education might sound a bit harsh, but that's what it is. Because you can get one person to understand and they can hopefully go and tell someone else, and so it snowballs.
Diabetologist Dr. Mayank Patel on our recent Diabetes Wellness Day South.
No, I think it's critical to understand in the modern age, in 2019, there is no such thing as mild diabetes. Diabetes by its nature is a serious disease, regardless of type, regardless of if you're just on diet control or not, or tablets or injections. Diabetes is diabetes, and whatever type it is, all types need to be taken and managed seriously from the word go.
And feet are in focus in this month's Staying Well feature, with podiatrist Graham Bowen.
The stats are quite horrific. We've got an increasing amputation rate, both major and minor, and patients who present with a foot ulcer and or an amputation have a 50% mortality at 5 years.
I'm Claire Levy from DRWF, and I look forward to hosting our new series of podcasts. So first up today, I've been talking to our CEO, Sarah Tutton, to discuss the work of DRWF and explain who we are, how we work and where it was founded.
So DRWF actually started in Washington, D.C. in 1993. It was started by a guy called Mike Gretchel and his business partner, John Alahouzos. And it was born out of a very personal connection with type 1 diabetes. Mike has two children with type 1. They are now in their 40s. So Mike and John have worked for 40 plus years in international fundraising. And they felt many years ago that they could take their day-to-day experience and expertise and use that to help raise funds to support diabetes research. One of the things that they really felt they needed was the day-to-day support in managing diabetes, which they felt was lacking all those years ago. And so they set up their own group, DRWF, in order to be able to provide information and support to people living with diabetes whilst they were raising money to support research for the future. DRWF in the UK then set up in 1998, very similar model to that of the US. And over the years, we've gone on to set up autonomous groups in France, Sweden, Finland, and more recently in Norway. The idea is that each group is entirely autonomous. So we fundraise in country and we run appropriate in-country activities to provide support and information and to support research funding programs. And then collectively as a group, we contribute sums of money to a much higher value pot of funds in order for us to support multi-year international research programs that individually we couldn't be involved in.
We might not always be the first charity people think of when they are researching their own diabetes self-management. What do you think we do well that complements other sources of information and guidance?
I think the way in which we deliver it is possibly what we do very well, and that is that it's a little less formal in approach, perhaps. All of our information is covered by our information standard accreditation scheme, so it's all relevant, clinically evidenced information. But the very fact that someone can give us a call, drop in and say, can you help me with this, I think is just a really nice way in which to provide that level of support. Mm-hmm. I think there's obviously a crossover in some of the work that we do. I think it's more the way in which we deliver it that sort of sets us apart a little.
We are accessible, and I think that might be a surprise for people. So what's the best way to get in touch with us, would you say?
However you like, give us a call. We're a friendly bunch. We're a bit like a little family, really, and I think you find that with all of the DRWF groups. I think we offer a really personal service, and I guess one of the strengths that we have is the knowledge and understanding that we've built over the last 20 years in building relationships with people living with diabetes and their immediate network of friends and families and carers, in order to try and provide a support service that meets diverse needs. Mm. Give us a call, have a look at our website, tweet us, drop in and have a cup of tea. I think that's what you get with us.
Yeah. And the Diabetes Wellness Network, do you want to just sort of talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, so the Diabetes Wellness Network was the name that we originally gave to our growing group of supporters. They were very specifically people living with all types of diabetes. And we wanted to create that community, that network of people that wanted to share information, belong to a specific group, as it were, in order to be able to access the information and support to help people self-manage effectively. And so essentially we offer a subscriber service. People subscribe. It's not just about subscribing to in order to pay for your monthly diabetes wellness news, which is the main benefit of subscription. All of that income is just another income stream for us, which helps us then to not only provide the information and support that we provide, but also to fund our research programs. So the Diabetes Wellness News is a great little monthly newsletter, contains lots of specific information about diabetes and its related health conditions. It also is an opportunity for people to share their personal experiences. And that is really important for us because it creates that wider sense of community and our support network.
So what's the best way for people to support the charity if they're interested in the work that we're doing?
Well, we exist on voluntary income, so I guess making a donation to support our work or to subscribe to our Diabetes Wellness Network is an ideal way to get involved with what we're doing. But not everyone can afford to give financially, and we do need the support of volunteers. So it could be that someone has a few hours of time that they could contribute, a skill that might be beneficial to some of the programs that we run. Just to know that we have the support of people is wonderful, and we can't exist without voluntary support. So as little as it may seem to be able to contribute an hour or two of time, it's vitally important to us.
We talk about transparency quite a lot with charities. People then also ask about where the money's going, how it's spent. So what would you say to somebody who was wanting to find out a bit more about any charity, I suppose, but, specifically us?
Well, I guess if you want to find out, the obvious place to look in the first instance would be on the Charity Commission website or on our own website. Our annual reviews are published on our own website. But if you want to drill down into the more deeper, meaningful numbers, then Charity Commission website obviously has our annual accounts available for viewing. But if you have specific questions, give us a call, contact us and ask us. We're more than happy to tell you the answers. It might be wise to say at this point in time that, we were 20 years old last year and we're still a small group in terms of size and structure, just, 14 people now. But we've actually raised just short of £71 million in that 20 years. And on average, so over that 20 years, 82 pence in every £1 that we've spent as an average has been spent on our awareness, education and research funding programmes.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, a new podcast from DRWF, and we'll have more from Sarah on the work we're doing in a moment. Sarah mentioned how important the work of volunteers is to us, and I caught up with Lionel Curtis and Pauline Mathers from Hull, who attended our recent Diabetes Wellness Day South.
Fantastic. It was really good. Meeting different people, different speakers. Yeah, it was good.
Fantastic. Yeah, so yeah. This year you came down to the event in Hampshire.
Yes.
At Whiteley. So that was obviously a lot bigger what you'd experienced in the past. Yeah. What were your thoughts about coming to that?
Yes, it was a brilliant weekend. Met lots of different people. Been speaking with people who have diabetes and, you know, got their points of view.
Mm.
Yeah, it was good.
Because there isn't always that opportunity, is there?
No.
I think people can sometimes feel a bit lonely.
True.
Yeah. A bit isolated.
Yeah.
So I was saying, you know, what would you say to somebody who wasn't really sure about going? Why would they want to go to an event like this?
Well, to learn different things, get different different speakers, and each one had different aspects of diabetes. So, yeah, anybody who has diabetes, I would recommend going to it, plus going to any support groups what they can go to.
Mm.
My name is Lionel Curtis. The Holland District Diabetes Support Group came into fruition in July 2002.
What sort of things do you do?
Well, we have our monthly meetings, where we have professional healthcare professionals giving us an hour of their time for free. We meet at the Britannia Royal Hotel. It's first Tuesday of the month, 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock p.m.
What do you think the group does for people living with diabetes?
Education to them, because that's the big, big thing. We must try and get more and more people. Education might sound a bit harsh, but that's what it is. You have to educate, because you can get one person to understand and they can hopefully go and tell someone else, and so it snowballs.
Very much so. So it is around self-management skills, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, because we're not medical by any standard, but our guest presenters are.
So you recently came to the diabetes wellness event in Whiteley.
Yes, fantastic.
Yes, can you just tell me what you thought to the day?
I thought it was very hectic. Lots and lots of information all over the place. I thought Captain Inchling was fantastic. It is really. And to be dressing up like that. We missed him fighting with the smoking cigarette. But it was nice because we were speaking to other people who were not part of DRWF. And we spoke to a few of them. It was nice getting with the DRWF people. We were part of a family.
Yeah, very much so.
Very much. But we, Pauline and I, we were dragged into that family. We weren't just let in. You get over here, you're part and parcel of us. That's how I felt that we was on.
So what about talking to other people? Because we know that peer support's so important. So when you're at an event like that, how important do you think it is about meeting other people living with diabetes and sharing those experiences?
Oh, it's most important because each one of us has a different outlook. And what suits me wouldn't suit you, wouldn't suit someone else. But if we talk about things, there'll be little bits that can connect together, which makes it a larger piece. You know, just it's like a jigsaw puzzle.
So what talks did you go to on the day?
To the podiatry, other finger pricking, the exercise. It was good to see, because I'll tell you what, there would be some very sore bodies the day after, because some of the people were really pushing it in and never thinking about what it was, which, again, it makes it fun.
Yeah. So say the talk with Graham Bowen, the foot talk, did you learn anything from that?
Oh, yes. You know, I wherever I go, if I'm listening to someone like Graham or anybody else that's on, and I take on board what's been said, I can sift through and say, oh, that's relevant to me, that may not be, but although it's not relevant to me, if I take it on board, I can give it to someone else.
So what would you say to somebody who's never been to one of these events?
Oh, get yourself there. No problem whatsoever. Get yourself there.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
The Diabetes Wellness Day South was really well attended. One of the healthcare professionals who supports a lot of our work and also wrote our patient information leaflet on managing diabetes when you are ill is Dr. Mayank Patel, a consultant physician in diabetes at the University Hospital Southampton NHS Foundation Trust. I spoke to him just before he gave one of our talks.
We're here today, Claire, to help inform and inspire and educate a group of individuals, most of whom have diabetes, about how they can providing some tips on living better and living well with diabetes.
Why is this day so important, do you think?
I think at a time when it's very hard for people with diabetes to get access to formal education, an event such as this in the annual calendar is really important to bring people together, share ideas, life experiences around how we can all do little things differently, perhaps as needed, to make healthier choices in living well with diabetes where appropriate. And having access to healthcare professionals and relevant companies who provide products and the like to support good healthy living can only be a good thing.
So what's the difference, I suppose, from doing something like this when people can ask those questions to people just being in clinic, would you say?
I think perhaps on a day like this, compared to being in a clinic, is a sense that there's probably a bit more time and a bit more choice in terms of topics for discussion on offer. So the event every year runs sessions covering various diabetes themes. So it might be that people with diabetes choose to attend a particular session given their particular interest. We also know hospital clinics can be quite busy places, and people may leave the clinic appointment and realise afterwards they forgot to ask about their relevant issues. So at least on a day like this, people can come prepared with their questions perhaps and catch speakers and representatives between sessions or during talks and get real-time information more up to date.
What sort of questions do people tend to ask you?
In terms of things I get asked about commonly, it's about advice on particular medications, how particular medications might work, how they might adjust insulin doses, and just in terms of recognising that their own local specialist, their own local surgery, etc., the individuals there may perhaps not have the detailed knowledge that we can't expect everyone in healthcare to have about diabetes. So I often find myself being asked some more like technical questions about insulin pumps or equipment that is not commonplace in the sort of GP surgery type environment.
Where do people then go to get good information, do you think?
Getting information can be quite tricky in the modern age, so the Internet of Things, we know, has lots of resources and things, but the problem is recognising what on the Internet is valid and reputable. So by being aligned as a clinical specialist in diabetes with various charities such as the DRWF, I'm able to signpost people to reputable resources of information that I feel are trusted, have been sense-checked as being appropriate and correct.
So why should somebody come to a day like this who may be, I don't know, might not think it's a good idea?
I think on a day like this, having seen previous feedback, most people leave this room, leave the day with new information they didn't previously have. It's also a chance to debunk and dispel any myths they may have held onto for a number of years or been misinformed about. It's also recognised that knowledge does change over time through research, and if it's been a number of years since you last received any formal diabetes information, you may find yourself in a situation where new facts are presented which may challenge the way in which you've been doing things for a number of years. And by adapting your approach to diabetes on a personal level, you may find that your diabetes control improves and the quality of life you are experiencing may get better.
And just the old sort of adage, and I know this is something you mention every time, you know, type 2 diabetes is not as bad, is it?
No, I think it's critical to understand in the modern age, in 2019, there is no such thing as mild diabetes. Diabetes by its nature is a serious disease, regardless of type, regardless of if you're just on diet control or not, or tablets or injections. Diabetes is diabetes, and whatever type it is, all types need to be taken and managed seriously from the word go.
And I think if you can just say something about personalised self-management. So there is no one-size-fits-all, is there?
No. So in terms of diabetes guidance, all we can offer patients is guiding principles about how to make the right choices in their diabetes. But we do recognise, for example, certain blood pressure or glucose targets for some people might be a bit too tight and cause other symptoms. So we do try and tailor our approach depending on the individual circumstances, other diseases they may have, etc., other medications they take, etc. But the themes are still the same. We should endeavour to achieve as good glucose and blood pressure and cholesterol level control, for example, as best we can. We should all try and eat healthily, and we should all try and maintain a degree of physical activity, recognising that for all of us, endeavouring to do some of these things some of the time rather than none of the time will still confer benefit.
Dr. Mayank Patel. Also attending the Diabetes Wellness Day South was podiatrist Graham Bowen, and we'll be hearing from him in a few minutes when the focus is on feet in our Staying Well feature. Our next Diabetes Wellness Day is in the Midlands on the 6th of October at Chesford Grange in Kenilworth. More details on the website at drwf.org.uk under the Events tab.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, a new podcast from DRWF. Now, let's return to our chat with DRWF CEO Sarah Tutton and the work we do in helping people with all types of diabetes stay well, in addition to funding important research projects.
I think everything that we do really is about supporting people in their self-management, because as we know, about 90-95% of diabetes care is self-administered. So it's vitally important that whilst we are raising money to support research for the future, that we hope will improve our understanding of diabetes and its associated conditions. Research can take many years to come to fruition, and it's vitally important that people have the tools and the skills necessary to be able to self-manage effectively in order to reduce the risk of complications and to live as best quality of life as they possibly can.
So the work we do around informing and educating people living with all forms of diabetes, how do our wellness events fit into this?
We recognise that people want to access support in different ways. Self-management means different things to different people, and being able to provide that support in a way that best suits individual needs. The wellness events offer the opportunity to come together with other people living with diabetes to make friends and contacts. A lot of people live in isolation. They don't have that immediate support network. So the events really enable us to provide the information and educational support on a face-to-face basis, on a one-to-one basis. They fit brilliantly into our provision of educational support. They have been running since 2001. They have more recently won a Quality in Care Diabetes Award for empowering people in self-management. And they are really effective in being able to support ongoing behavioural change.
So looking back to our strapline, can you tell us about the research DRWF is funding, sort of has funded over the years? What a difference that's made.
So we started off with an annual funding round back in 2000, and we wanted to be able to support some diverse research projects. Our strategy is quite broad, so the funding that we give is to support or to improve our understanding of all types of diabetes, to help improve our understanding of management and treatment strategies, but ultimately to find a cure, in particular for type 1 diabetes, which can't be prevented. So we started off by giving three-year fellowships to support bright young diabetes researchers to help them as a springboard or as a platform in their longer-term diabetes research career. And those awards are either clinical or non-clinical in nature. They are in place for 3 years, and our clinical funding is around £240,000 for that award, and about £200,000 for the non-clinical. We're also supporting one-year pump priming projects, and they're really quite exciting pieces of work. They cost us around £20,000 per project. We'll generally fund around six each year. And those projects are fantastic for helping us to collect different types of pilot study data in a both clinical and non-clinical field, which help us to inform bigger projects, multi-year projects with translational pilot study data, and they help us to leverage, or they help the researcher obviously to leverage higher value funding from other organisations. So there are, again, they're a springboard for multi-year higher value awards. Outside of that annual funding round, we have always supported institutional awards, and I guess more specifically, that has been around our commitment to islet cell transplant. And that has seen real benefit in the UK. In 2004, we made an unprecedented award of 1.4 million to the Nuffield Department of Surgery at Oxford. And that was to provide an islet isolation facility at the Churchill Hospital. That facility was launched in 2006. And in 2008, that facility was instrumental in helping the NHS to arrive at the decision to fund the clinical element of islet transplants as a treatment option for some people with type 1 diabetes in the UK. That's quite a unique position. Collectively, outside of our UK funding stream, as I mentioned previously, we will collaborate on multi-year higher value awards with other DRWF groups. And so therefore we have funding at place in the Diabetes Research Institute in Miami, which is working on some fantastic stem cell research work at this moment in time. We collaborate with our Swedish partners in Stockholm and at Lund University and Uppsala and Karolinska. It's a great way for us to be able to share resources and really maximise the opportunity for us to get involved in research in other countries that we otherwise couldn't be involved in.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball now. What does the future look like for diabetes research and diabetes wellness?
I think the future is bright. a huge amount of funding and work has been put into improving accessibility to diabetes technology in more recent years. Equally, the NHS Type 2 Diabetes Prevention Programme has really gathered a pace in more recent years too. So I think there's a huge amount of work being done to prevent type 2 diabetes across the country. There is a huge amount of progress in diabetes technology and its availability in the UK for people with type 1 in particular in the last couple of years. It's hard to say in terms of diabetes research. We have to keep funding research. We've got to keep looking at the future in terms of understanding how we could prevent diabetes as much as possible. Research takes a long time to come to fruition, but we've seen such a lot of advance since insulin was first discovered in 1921.
If you'd like to discover more about the research DRWF supports, visit our website at drwf.org.uk under the Research tab. Our annual report can be viewed and downloaded from the About Us section. And while you're there, you may like to sign up to our newsletter. For just £8 a year, you'll receive 12 editions, or you can make a donation. Don't forget to include the gift aid if you're eligible. For the more energetic, there are some great activities and events coming up to raise funding for us through sponsorship. The next event is the Ride London Surrey 100 on the 4th of August, and then there's the Skydive on the 9th of August. Keep an eye on the website for all the other events.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
Now it's time for our Staying Well feature. And today the focus is on feet. I spoke with podiatrist Graham Bowen, who is the clinical lead for podiatry at the Solent NHS Trust, a large community healthcare provider on the south coast of Hampshire. He told me how he likes to meet people in the more relaxed surroundings of our Diabetes Wellness Day to raise awareness on the importance of looking after your feet, combined with good management of your diabetes.
For me, for the interaction with patients is that in the NHS, we get patients coming in and we're dealing with people who've got complications. And it's a bit firefighting in the NHS. And bearing in mind, patients, 8,750 hours or whatever in the year, and they might only get 3 to 4 hours of our contact over the year from any healthcare professional. And actually having the opportunity to have those one-to-one conversations, you might just give somebody advice to change their footwear, use a cream, check their feet a bit more regularly, that may well have an implication that they won't develop a foot problem in the future.
I mean, we're aware when people are first diagnosed, especially with type 2 diabetes, the feet are probably the last thing on their mind. But for you, just sort of raising awareness around feet and foot care and long-term complications, why is that so important?
For the foot in diabetes, it's so important. The stats are quite horrific. We've got an increasing amputation rate, both major and minor, and patients who present with a foot ulcer and or an amputation have a 50% mortality at 5 years. A foot ulcer takes on average 12 months to heal, and they've got a chance of infection, admission to hospital, amputation, numerous appointments, change of lifestyle, limiting of their activity. And actually, just by preventing one foot ulcer, we can prevent that patient going through a lot of agony, a lot of stress, anxiety, but also making their life longer. And the other aspect around it is looking at NHS resources. Having that opportunity just to save somebody from having an amputation can be quite dramatic. We had a patient recently who didn't want to change their footwear, and consistently kept in their £10 pair of footwear for over 2 years. They ended up losing all 10 toes. And we did a little bit of costing, and that cost £24,000 to the NHS over the fact they wouldn't change, or then wouldn't wear their surgical shoes, their bespoke shoes they had made for them. They wouldn't change their behaviour. So days like this is really good, because you've got people who are interested to learn. And actually sharing my experience and the experience of my team, and just doing that, and hopefully will make a difference to patients.
So what do we do on a daily basis?
On a daily basis for diabetes, for the foot, is really some simple steps. I always just say, just look at your feet, check inside your shoes, just make sure nothing's come through. There's no stones, no foreign objects in there that can lead to tissue damage, checking their feet, making sure they're clean, making sure that that they are aware of their foot health, using an emollient if they've got some dry skin, and we always recommend a urea-based cream, 10% or 25% depending on the need, surgical spirit in between the toes, getting people to really engage with their feet. The feet, as you say, is the last thing on their mind, but actually it's the most devastating complication, and as I said, 50% mortality if you've got a foot ulcer or a amputation, and that's worse than the three leading cancers. So if you found a lump in your body, you'd pull out all the stops. What we do find is people might have some sensation loss, and they might wait, and because they haven't got any pain, they don't seek help. And by the time they do seek help, it can be too late.
Our thanks to Graham Bowen and all the people who talked to me for our first DRWF podcast, Living with Diabetes. And our CEO, Sarah Tutton, who would like to add her thanks.
Yeah, I'd just like to say a very big thank you to all of our supporters, because obviously we can't do what we do without them. And that includes our trustees, all of our staff who give additional time, and all of the fantastic volunteers that come and support our events, fundraise for us, and make donations. Thank you.
Next time, more news from the world of DRWF, plus Dr. Partha Carr on breaking down the barriers between care in hospital and out in the community.
My personal view is that the role of a diabetologist is probably for the whole population. It's not just for a local hospital or a local community.
We hear what happened when British TV presenter Dom Littlewood, who has type 1, took on a leg of a tough global yacht race, setting sail into a stormy Atlantic Ocean.
We are 5 days at sea, about 1,000 miles away from New York. We had a very treacherous stretch of water where most people got very ill and started to feel the effects of the Atlantic. My diabetes, I got into a bit of a problem with it, and I've now got what's called ketones in my blood, which is basically a poison.
And Captain Insulin unmasked. This is Claire Levy from DRWF. Thanks for listening, and I'm looking forward to joining you again in our next edition of Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora Media production for DRWF. Copyright 2019. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.